The Yankees split a pretty drunk series with the Angels where a bunch of wild stuff happens. We're going to break down this series, talk about what happened, the good, the bad, the in-between. My name is Ryan Garcia with Sam Lucchini. This is the Fireside Yankees podcast brought to you by Aspen Vodka. Aspen Vodka, the official partner of Fireside Yankees. You can get their espresso martinis. You can get their cocktails, their vodka at Yankee Stadium. You might need some after some of these games. I mean, wild, wacky series, but Sam, how we feeling? How we doing, man?
I'm good, man. I mean, this was we have a lot of stuff that we want to dig into right now. Joe Sixpack, you know, clocking in for duty here on the Fireside Yankees podcast. I'm just ready to get right, man. I mean, this is one of the wackier series I think that we've seen over the past couple of years, Ryan. It ended up being a 2-2 split. Listen, I mean, shout out to Jordan Romano. I personally think that the Yankees probably would have gotten swept if he wasn't even on the Angels roster, but I mean, that's kind of the reality of it. I mean, we had, there was some good, there was some bad. I think that we saw some people come to life, which is exciting. And then there's a lot of negatives that we need to talk about as well. So, I mean, realistically, this is a series where you should take, you know, 3 of 4 or 4 of 4. I know that we talked about that at the end of the weekend. They walk out of here with a 2-2 split. So I'm excited to kind of break down and kind of get into, you know, what this was and kind of what this means for their outlook. But I think that we want to start with a lot of the good, Ryan, and at least dabble on what we thought was good from this team this series. So I'm going to let you kick that off.
Well, man, I love dabbling. It's my favorite thing to do. I love to dabble. And we'll start with Aaron Judge, because Aaron Judge was awesome in the series. He hits his 4th home run of the series today. And I think that's like the biggest positive to me, which is I'm not worried about Aaron Judge. I never was worried about Aaron Judge, but to see him go in a Superman mode is really nice. I think it gives you that reminder like, hey, as long as this guy is in his prime, this offense is going to score runs. He will drag them kicking and screaming to having runs on the board. And whether it was last night in the first inning hitting that home run, whether it was today answering back after a 2-run first inning, whether it was him and Trout just duking it out for the first game of this series and hitting 2 huge home runs, given how close that game was and how much the Yankees had to rally in order to win that one. This guy had his fingerprints all over this series. He's the best player in baseball. I'll keep saying it until my face turns blue. Sam, can you talk to me a little bit about what, I mean, I don't even know how to say this, man. Like, just talk to me about Judge, dude.
I mean, it's the everyday, right? It's what we've gotten used to from Aaron Judge. I know that we had a couple of questions about, you know, what was going on with him after the slow start. It didn't necessarily look like he was clicking on all cylinders. He was just late on some pitches or just earlier some pitches and just missing. But I think that now we're kind of seeing the complete package of what Aaron Judge is and what Aaron Judge has been for the last 4 to 5 seasons for this Yankee team. Now reclaims the lead at the top of the home run leaderboard in Major League Baseball after his home run today, hitting his 8th, which is awesome. And honestly, Ryan, the offense as a whole, you know, was relatively impressive, and they finally started to put runs on the board outside of Tuesday night when they just put up the 1. I think they scored the 1 run super late, but their offense as a whole didn't look absolutely dreadful like it had looked for the previous, you know, 5 or 6 games or whatever it was. But for Aaron Judge to finally get back on track and look like his old self, and the back and forth that him and Trout kind of had this week, and it even happened today with the two of them hitting home runs, was a lot of fun to see, because these are two legends of the game facing off against each other. I loved what the broadcast was doing when either of them would hit a home run against the opposite team. They would like pan the camera, which was a lot of fun, so that was cool. But I thought that the offense as a whole wasn't as abysmal as we've seen them been. Like, Trent was huge with the 2 home runs the other night. He looked great. I think that Austin Wells, you know, kind of relatively got back on track from what you've seen from his poor performances early. Ahmed Rosario continues to look impressive. I don't think we've seen the very best of Cody Bellinger just yet, but I think that's going to happen. I know that we're going to get into Ben Rice and the amount of ABs that he's received this season, which has been really frustrating. So, but the offense as a whole looked decent, and for 99 to look like the best player on the planet again is huge for this team. I think it's the largest positive sign that you can take out of this series, and I think that for this Yankee team, him being on track is the most important thing for them.
Yeah, and what I'll start with the offense, because I wanted to also expand from Judge, just to give some guys their flowers. Rice obviously had a big series. Grisham had a game-saving series. I mean, the guy doesn't hit those 2 home runs in the first game of the set, the Yankees lose this series straight up. It was good to see Stanton hit that home run because he had kind of been going a little cold. So it was good to kind of visually see some pop back. Again, man, like this, Caballero had some big hits as well. I mean, yeah, he's starting to come alive.
I'm sorry. I completely like glossed over Cabby. He was awesome with the walk-off and then like had a couple of hits today and then was pretty decent this series. So it's funny. Like it's right when Volpe, one of the Ravens. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut in. I needed to add Cabby to my list because he like completely went off the board for me. But yeah, he had an awesome series too.
And offensively, you know, I think the process at the plate is better for these guys. Like what concerned me going into this week was that they finally get back in some warm weather in Tampa and it didn't look any better. It looked like the same group we saw in that really cold weather against the A's, but look, the weather heated up. They heated up. Their expected numbers look good. Like the process at the plate looks good. They're hitting the ball hard. They're working walks. They are presenting threats on pitches down the middle. They're actually hammering those pitches down the middle. I think that there's some poor fortune in here as well. Like if you look at their batting average on balls in play, entering play today, it was the 28th lowest in baseball. That's just not sustainable given how hard they hit the ball. And yes, hard hit rates, exit velocity, it does play a role in batting average. When you hit the ball hard, you're going to have a higher hit expectancy. I know it comes with some trade-offs with how often you're hitting the ball and putting it in play, but not to the extent where they should be this poor in batting average moving forward. One weird thing too, they've ran the bases really well. I know today was pretty rough. Today was a rough one on the bases.
Right.
Like Wells on the walk-off single from Cabby. That's a great base running play. The double steal, the aggression. Like, I don't know if you know this, Sam. They're second in baseball in stolen bases. They lead the American League in stolen bases.
Well, they do a really good job in the base paths of being able to grab extra spots. I know that against Jordan Romano specifically in both of his outings when they were able to walk it off, they did well because they were able to steal second base and then tip his pitches from behind. You saw it last night from Jazz. Like, it was awesome. And that's, listen, I think that is a strength of this team that they've definitely improved on from years past. From the slow and boring and unathletic Yankee teams, I think that Caballero gives you a level of intensity on the base pass that you never had. I think the same thing about a guy like Jazz. And I think that they run more with more intensity on the base pass than I think that they have over the past half decade.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, I wanted to expand even to like since the deadline. They have the most stolen bases in the American League since the trade deadline from last year by 9 full steals. And that's not counting. Again, today was a bad base running day. So like I realize timing wise, maybe not the best time to mention it. Like Cabby can't get picked off at second.
Right.
Bellinger gets thrown out at second, trying to turn a single into a double. Like things happened today that weren't good on the bases, but they went from like they were historically bad at base running in 23 and 24. They're pretty good. Not great. They're pretty good at it. They can at least steal bases. I don't know if they're like specifically, I wouldn't say they're like insanely good at taking the extra base and turning singles into doubles and this down to third, but given where they were, like this is a big step forward from 2 years ago. Now, I think we can, I don't know if you have anything else you want to add on the positive side, but I think everything else is just kind of like dog shit.
I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, like, listen, you know, and I said it at the top, I'm going to say it again. Right, and this can kick off what you're talking about. If Jordan Romano doesn't play for the Angels, they get swept. The Yankees get swept in a 4-game set to a team that is far worse than they are. And I want to expand this to a larger point, okay? The Yankees over their last 4 series have played who?
Marlins, Rays, A's, Angels.
If I gave you that, and I told you that they were going to play 4 series against those teams, how many wins do you think they would have?
Oh, I'd tell you, so they played 3-3-3-4. So I would tell you pretty confidently, I'd say they're picking up like 9 wins, 10 wins.
I would tend to agree. I would 100% agree with you that they go 9-4. Why do you give that answer? Because those 4 teams are not good baseball teams. They will not be postseason teams. When we get to October, you will not see them on a postseason atmosphere. It's not going to happen. I do not care that it is mid-April. These are the games that you need to win against these ball clubs that are not as talented as you and don't spend as much money as you. So that can kick off where you're going. Ryan, that is a big point that I just kind of wanted to get across my chest because these are just not good teams that they're playing.
I agree, and I'm gonna say the line that I said last podcast, and I'm making sure I have the exact quote in front of me so that I don't have any, I don't want it to be misinterpreted, okay? The Yankees, according to various veterans, or people that spoke to The Athletic, the Yankees wanted to finish every series. Am I missing something? Like, was this how you finish a series? Was this how you play the Rays series? Like, we're going to talk, get into this. I think this is a good way to get into this. When you tell me there's a greater emphasis on avoiding last year, where it came down to a tiebreaker and you didn't win the division and you maybe didn't win the American League division series and you maybe didn't win the American League. Like, you didn't win the American League potentially because you didn't win your division. Play your best nine, right? Like, that's how I view it. I view it as, okay, so when I play the Angels four times, Rice is playing at minimum three, starting in at minimum three. Not, oh, well, I get to cherry pick when I use him because I can use him off the bench in a game where you're down 3-0 before the offense even comes up. Right? Like, is that not crazy to you that, like, that's the whole talk and that's not what we're doing?
I'm going to be so frank with you. I hated that quote. I hated that quote. I can fire Benny Rice whenever I want to. Dude, you should fire Benny Rice as much as you can right now. We do not need to sit here and explain to the people that are watching this podcast and Yankee fans alike how good Ben Rice has been this year. We don't need to do that because you guys watch the games every day. We see what happens. We know how talented he is and how great he's been for this roster. Dude, when it is the eighth inning in a 7-0 ball game, that's when you want to pinch hit him? You didn't think, hey, man, he should have hit in the first, the third, the fifth inning, the seventh inning, so on and so forth. You fire him in a game when you're losing by 7 runs. Dude, I don't care. Ben Rice is a guy that needs to play every single day, no matter what the reason is. I don't care if you platoon him. I don't care if you don't want to catch him. I don't care if you think that Goldschmidt needs more at-bats. And I do think that Goldschmidt brings a very valuable asset to this Yankee team, and I think that he should play against lefties when given the opportunity. I think that that makes a lot of sense. But I think that it is absolutely stupid to not get, statistically, right now, your best hitter the most amount of at-bats on your roster. That is stupid. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you need to send down Ascara. I don't care if you need to catch Ben Rice twice a week. I don't care if you need to reconstruct your roster. It is inexcusable that Ben Rice is not playing more than he is right now. It's dumb.
Also, again, I understand, like, this is not, oh, I hate Paul Goldschmidt. You and I both view Paul Goldschmidt as a valuable bench piece. He's a really good option against lefties. But there is a present-day value aspect to this, and there's a downstream effect from not playing Ben Rice against lefties. When he doesn't play against lefties, he can't develop and get better in those matchups. If he doesn't get better in those matchups, he will be perpetually stuck in a platoon role. Now, if that is what you envision for Ben Rice, that you do not believe he can hit lefties, okay, that's, I think, a little bit premature to call that, but fine. But you can't tell everybody how much of a superstar this guy is. And because this is no longer our words. This is Aaron Boone's words. Aaron Boone, the day that Paul Goldschmidt was signed, told MLB Radio, I do not envision this impacting Ben Rice's playing time. This will not impact his playing time. This has impacted his playing time. So I don't understand what changed between the start of February and now. And I don't want to hear, well, they didn't catch him to start the year. First off, they knew Austin Wells was going to play in the World Baseball Classic, or at least intended to. Secondly, and very importantly, you caught him last year. If he's not built up to catch, and you don't have his offseason program, including him getting built up to catch, and then you build your roster in a way where he doesn't have any other position to play other than the first and DH, you have a right-handed first baseman that you intend to use, and you have a full-time DH, Giancarlo Stanton, then you built this roster with the intent to not get Ben Rice in against lefties. And don't tell me, well, in the second half, we'll have limited exposure against lefties, and we'll then have to figure it out going into the postseason. That's not when you want Ben Rice to figure out how to hit lefties. I don't want it to be against Skubal. I want his learning experience to be against guys who aren't very good, so that when he faces Skubal, there's a comfort level, there's some visualization. Like, there's It just, it doesn't work. And I am willing to concede, what, like half a win over 162 for that developmental purpose, because in the postseason it might win me a game, because in 2027 it might win me games. And I don't want to hear that, well, you can't concede any wins to try and do developmental things, because the Yankees don't have their roster built in a way where they're optimizing as many wins as possible. If their primary and sole objective was to win as many games as possible, this bullpen would not look the way it looks. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, 100%. 110%. I also think that...
Yeah.
Dude, like when... So, an example, when your offense is dead Tuesday night and you cannot get a single thing going, right? Like, why is my best hitter then on the bench? Like, that is... It's just outlandishly dumb to me. There is a solution. Like, there is 100% a solution to this, right? And it's super simple, okay? And I, like, tweeted it, and people are like, well, you can't catch him. We're like, I don't really care. Like, you can figure it out defensively, okay? And it's not even dumb, because it's a position the guy plays. They need to send out J.C. Ascara. Like, J.C. Ascara does not have a place on the Yankees roster, because when you look at it, fundamentally, they are carrying three left-handed catchers, okay? And the media has told you that. The Yankees have told you that. We have been telling you that there's three left-handed catchers on the roster. There's no reason for J.C. Ascara to be there. If he was a righty, maybe I can understand it, but he's a left-handed catcher, okay? You send down J.C. Ascara, and I don't love what Oswaldo Cabrera is as a player. I really don't. But I think that you bring up Oswaldo Cabrera, who can play in a million different positions. He at least fills another bench role for you. He's not awesome as a right-handed bat, but at least he can fill a slot for you. That's not just clogging your roster as a catcher. And then after that, you then go, well, okay, we can catch Rice once or twice a week. We can catch Wells 5 to 6 times a week. Goldschmidt can still play against the left-handed pitchers. And we get Ben Rice as many at-bats as possible. If Ben Rice needs to completely sit down for a day because he's catching, I think that you can do that. And then there's the built-in excuse of having him sit and just have a pinch hit. You know, he gets a pinch hit at-bat in the 7th or the 8th or whatever the situation is. But it is fundamentally stupid to have three catchers on your roster, one of them being Ben Rice, who is not playing as often as you want him to, and then just not take advantage of your roster situation. We think that Paul Goldschmidt is super valuable against left-handed pitching, and he has been since he's come to the Yankees. He's hitting like 350 against left-handed pitching since he's came to the team. So I want Goldie to play against lefties. Like, that's, I'm so down with that. But if there's anybody that's going to lose at-bats here, Ryan, it's Austin Wells. Like, Austin Wells is the one out of that pack that loses at-bats against the left-handed pitching.
Yeah, and again, it all ties back to, okay, what is your long-term goal at Ben Rice? What is your short-term goal at this team? I want the Yankees to be consistent across the board with this. Did the Yankees platoon Jazz Chisholm last year when it was statistically advantageous for them to go Caballero, Volpe, Rosario against lefties? No. And they did it once. In game one of the wild card round, Jazz got upset and they stopped doing it. So does Ben Rice have to throw a temper tantrum to the media to get them to stop doing it? That's my question. Is that what's going to have to happen? And I'm not saying I'm advocating for that, nor am I even saying that, like, I want players to be happy to not play, right? I'm not, I don't want that to get misconstrued here. But I am saying, like, we've seen that they're willing to not be aggressive with platoons or leave total optimization on the table because it's 162. You got to think about other things. For example, hey, Luis Gil's not your fifth best starter that's healthy right now. But why does he get the ball every fifth day? Because it makes sense for the roster. You don't want to start Elmer Rodriguez's service clock. LeGrande needs a little bit more seasoning. You don't do it because it's actually going to win you baseball games. So the Yankees are aware of the fact that they're doing things that are not going to win them as many baseball games as humanly possible because there are other things involved. But they don't do that with Ben Rice. I'm going to give you another example. They optioned Bird, then they optioned Yeri. They may option Chavichi because they may have to option him as well because you need a fresh arm. You might go, who cares about these guys? Well, slow down. You need to wait 15 days, barring injury, in order to bring these guys back up. Which means when you option Chavilly, if you option Chavilly, and you call up like Kervin Castro, he has to stay on the roster no matter how often you burn him, because you can't actually bring somebody back up. Maybe you could put somebody on the 40-man, but like then you have to do other things. Like, it gets very complicated very quickly. All of this is to protect a group of long relievers who are not good. Like, does anyone mistake in Ryan Yarbrough and Paul Blackburn as good pitchers who, if placed on waivers, would get claimed immediately? No. They did this last year with Carrasco, where like they forced Carlos Carrasco on you thinking, oh, he's actually good. Look, he has a good spring training ERA, so he's good. And then anyone with eyes can recognize he's not the best option for that job, but because of other things, they have to keep him on the roster. Is it fine to do things that don't completely optimize your team to satisfy other needs, or like to cater to veterans, or to keep as many pitchers in the organization as possible? Yeah, that's fine. But again, if there are other variables outside of winning that are involved, why does that not apply to Ben Rice? That's what I ask. I'm not asking for them to sit Paul Goldschmidt forever. I'm not asking for them to play him against every lefty. By catching Ben Rice, you have to give him off days. Those can line up with matchups against lefties. What we are asking is to allow Ben Rice to actually develop against lefties a little bit more. And that if you're going to be, nope, we platoon here. Across the board. And yeah, I expect you to then treat your bullpen like, who cares what these guys want? We're going to put the best eight out there. I want my best nine, then I want my best eight. I want my best five in the rotation. I want my best everywhere. It can't like, just apply to Ben Rice.
Okay, and here is, I think that the largest example of the platoon thing being just straight up ass backwards is, dude, why did Randall Grichuk just get 17 ABs? So like, they can sit down Cody Bellinger, who they just gave $160 million to. They can sit down Trent Grisham, who they just gave $22 million to, in platoon situations, which I think that you and I can agree is perfectly understandable. Like, that's fine. Like, you want to fire a righty in there? Go ahead. Like, do your thing, dude. But Bellinger is a reverse splits guy. So when they sat Bellinger against the lefty, I was like, what the hell are you doing? And then you sit Rice. And I'm like, what are we doing? Actually, I have a question. Can you fire something for me real quick? I need you to compare Ben Rice's at-bats in the series compared to Randall Grichuk's. Because Grichuk played the first three games.
I will say with Grichuk, I think there's a double here, right?
There is a double.
There's a lot of hard contact in this series. Like he had a 250, 400, 500 slash. And like, had hard contact. Like I'm not upset with the way that Randall Grichuk played in this series. But I will point out to you, and I think you'll find this more interesting, Reed Detmers. The Yankees sat Ben Rice against Reed Detmers.
I know, Jack. Exactly.
This was the game where Boone makes the comment, the quote about being able to use Ben Rice whenever.
Yep.
Against right-handed batters in his career, Reed Detmers has a 27% strikeout rate, a 1.13 home runs per nine, and a 4.11 slugging percentage against. Against lefties, it's a 23.3% strikeout rate, a 1.34 home runs per nine, and a 4.22 slugging percentage. His slash line against lefties is worse. His strikeout rate against lefties is worse. His home run per nine against lefties is worse. His whip against lefties is worse. Everything is worse against lefties, and he still sat Ben Rice after sitting Ben Rice in the game before. Like, look, is Aaron Boone why the Yankees lose games? I don't think he is. I think it's player performance in this series. I thought the players sucked. I thought the pitchers sucked.
For sure.
But I also need my manager. You're the manager of the New York Yankees, right? Like, this is a prestigious job, and this is a team that's got some urgency. Like, Aaron Judge wants to win a World Series. We want Aaron Judge to win a World Series with the Yankees. You need to manage and make the right decisions. I need you to make the right decisions more times than not. I have a lot of complaints about bullpen stuff, but, like, I don't even want to get there because I think that's all subjective, and, like, I can get there at some point.
Correct.
But what pitchers determine splits, not hitters. This is basic sabermetric baseball 101. There are 80 people in that front office that will tell him pitchers determine splits, not hitters. I need my manager to know this. I need my manager to know this and not sit Ben Rice with that knowledge. I need it.
I think that you and I have relatively been with Aaron Boone. I don't necessarily want to say we're like Boone defenders, but I think that we could recognize that a lot of the issues that the Yankees have don't necessarily fall on Aaron Boone. I think that there's just so many sidesteps this season. I think that he's made so many mistakes as far as lineup construction and bullpen usage. I think that it's been incredibly poor. And at the pinnacle of it was that comment the other night. I hated that comment so much. I said at the top, dude, like, saying that you want to fire your best hitter in any spot, like, replace that name with Aaron Judge, and you're looking at the exact same slash line. You're looking at the same slash line, and if he says that about Aaron Judge, we're losing our minds. Like, we are absolutely losing our minds if he says that about Aaron Judge. So I think that it's incompetent. I genuinely think that it is really stupid to not play a player of that caliber every single day. And I bring up the Grichuk thing because I'm like, dude, like, you can sit down Grisham and Bellinger and, like, you know, have it be a split thing and, like, do whatever. And, like, Grichuk gets, like, X amount of at-bats, and that's fine. But why in turn then just Ben Rice just straight up just not play? Like, you'll play Grisham through a platoon. Like, they've played Grisham through a platoon. They'll play Jazz through a platoon, like you mentioned. Like, there's some guys where it's just, like, null and void. For Volpe, they would play Volpe through a platoon all the time. You know who else will play through a platoon? He'll play Ryan McMahon through a platoon. He did it earlier this year, and he did it at the back half of last year.
Game one of the wild card series.
Yes. So if you can play those guys through a platoon, why does the second best hitter on your roster not get to play through a platoon when you told me in the offseason that he was going to play through a platoon? Dude, it is mind-numbing how stupid that is. Like, I feel like I've used that adjective probably 30 times this episode, but I think that we need to cap this and straight up just say, like, you got to play the guy more. I think that's kind of the bottom line, right?
Yes. And I also say this, like, with the bullpen stuff, I could go on and on here, right?
Yeah.
You use Blackburn two games in a row, only for one inning each time. The first time, understandable, is the top of the ninth. They end up going on to win that game. Blackburn delivered a very important inning in that game. Totally cool. Like, awesome. Great. The next time you used him, you were getting blown out. This is the game where Weather starts, gives up the three straight home runs, and, you know, they never really in that ball game.
Yeah.
You used him for an inning and a third because he was getting lit up. He's not a leverage reliever. I don't care if he gets burnt. And you end up burning Yeri in that game. You have to send him down, what I talked about earlier, the downstream effect of optioning so many guys in a short period of time is that you can only do that so many times before you run out of guys to call up and this, that, and the third in a 13-game stretch. Then you use Brent Hedrick in leverage in a non-leverage situation in that game. I'm not saying Brent Hedrick's, you know, the next Mariano Rivera, but he's been, what, one of their three or four most reliable relievers? How are you not using your long men like long men, which is you're going to go out there and you're going to eat this. Like, I don't care that the Angels were killing Paul Blackburn. You were down 7-0. His arm burns out in that game. That's what you do. You burn his arm out in that game and you load up the pen to be nice and fresh the next couple of days. Today, Max Fried is good to face Peraza when he was clearly struggling. I know Peraza is not a good hitter. I know he had a good series. He's not a good hitter. I'm sorry. Hate to tell everybody this.
Yeah, he's horrible. I'll tell you guys that.
He's not a good player.
He sucks.
I can understand the argument of leaving him in. Although Fried, again, did not look great going into that inning and did not look well-equipped to handle that matchup. But that's fine. He gets a hit, and then you bring Cruz in. Cruz had already been warming. You then bring him in after, so that means you didn't trust Fried to get Grisham, but you trusted him to get Peraza. That means you're trying to steal an extra out with Fried, who didn't have it all day, couldn't miss bats all day. You bring in Cruz. Okay. Gives up some, you know, soft contact. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Cruz got rocked.
No.
That's not what happened. But you get a matchup against a lefty. And it's a close enough game where getting it out here significantly changes the outlook of this game. And you don't go to Hill? Oh, well, I've got to save my bullpen. You didn't do that early in the series. If you cared so much about saving your bullpen, first and foremost, Fried gets Grisham, because Vaughn Grisham's not a good baseball player as well, and he's not even red hot or anything. So he would have gotten the Grisham at bat in a tie game. Or if you didn't care about saving your bullpen, you would have brought Cruz in for Peraza because Fried didn't have it. And if you double didn't care about your bullpen usage, you would have brought in Hill. Like, my point is, nothing lines up logically. He didn't save his bullpen. He didn't give his team the best chance to win. And again, you're burning guys who actually can help you in leverage. Like, you can't use Heidrick in this game because you used Heidrick in a low leverage situation and then have to use him last night because, you know, that's fine. It was a close game. Like, I don't hate that. But he's burning good relievers in bad spots to use them, and he's not burning his bad relievers. And then we end up in situations where you're out of relievers. And I'm going to extend some blame here to Cashman. You got two long men in your bullpen. Both of them suck. They're not good pitchers. That's fine. You have two long men who aren't good. Your long man, your sixth starter, is not going to be some great pitcher. But you got two of them, which means you've got six guys who are actual relievers. About how many of them are good? How many not good? Let me change that question. Sam, how many of the six guys who aren't logmen do you trust in a one-run game?
One.
Who?
It's Bednar.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, and here's the thing with Bednar, is Bednar has gotten burnt the entire season, and you shove him in the worst spots possible, and he pitched one inning this series, Ryan. Why did he pitch one inning this series? Because they were never winning. There was never a lane for him to pitch. There is one guy that you trust in a bullpen of nine dudes. One. That is stupid. It's stupid.
And if we're so concerned, again, like we talk about the importance of development and gaining information, right? Because, look, you're going to do some things in April to just understand what you got in your bullpen, right? You traded two top 30 prospects for Jake Bird. You told us that he's going to be fine after the offseason. And then the first chance you had to option him, you used him like if he was a guy, he used him like Scranton fodder in the first game of this Angels series. You let him out there to die when he didn't have it. Then you had to option him because you left him out there to die. Does that sound like a guy that they have a lot of faith in?
No.
I don't. If you think a guy is good, you don't use him like that. They didn't use Paul Blackburn like that. Like, to give you context, Sam, they had an opportunity to kill Bird in a game and Blackburn in a game. They did it with Bird. They didn't do it with Blackburn. What am I missing?
Yo, I promise you right now, I'm going to lose my shit. Like, if I see Paul Blackburn warm up in the ninth inning of a high leverage game again. Like, I'm actually going to lose my shit if he is the only guy that is up in the bullpen. Because it happened again this series. Where it's not, let's get Blackburn up. Let's get the burn up. Let's see what the burn's got for me late night, dude. What is wrong with you? This bullpen, the bullpen's horrible. Like, there's one guy that you trust out there, it's Bednar. Duvall doesn't have it. I think the Cruz is fine. I think the Hill is, like, we like Tim Hill a lot and what Tim Hill can provide, but I'm not pitching Tim Hill in, like, the eighth inning. He's not my setup guy. I think I like Tim Hill in spurts. I like my lanes for Tim Hill against left-handers in, like, the fifth or sixth inning where he could just go out and get me three ground balls and, like, you're good, right? Tim Hill's not a dude that you're going to trust in a high-leverage spot at the back half of a game. Nah, man, maybe in the 24 World Series instead of Nestor Cortez, probably, but not on an everyday basis for this Yankee team. There is not an arm that you trust in here outside of, in a high leverage spot, outside of David Bednar. Camilo Duvall looks lost. Like, compared to that beginning weekend series, that opening weekend series that we got out of Camilo Duvall, he looks lost. Like, it is not there for him. And I'm gonna promise you right now, Ryan, this team has a very, very clear objective of what they need to do at the trade deadline, like, this season. They need to shell whatever they can to go get a high leverage arm. The Yankees need to go at the deadline, and you know what they need to do? It's got to be a repeat of last year. They have to go and do it again. They have to go and trade for a Bednar. They have to go and trade for a Duvall, even when they still had Williams and Weaver in their bullpen, who were shaky, but they have to do it again. They have to do it again right here. Because if you take this bullpen unit right now and you drop them in October, dude, you're getting swept.
I will also say this, because, again, we're in the information gathering developmental stage, try and get guys right. Right? Like, we're still in that stage of, like, the bullpen where you're going to use some guys in certain spots because you're still learning who is and isn't trustable. Camilo Duvall couldn't get that, like, Brent Heidrick inning where the team was getting mopped. He couldn't get that inning where, like, you have nothing to lose. There is nothing to lose in this game at that point. You're already down by a country mile. It had to be Heidrick, who's actually pitching well and does not have anything to currently correct at the moment. It has to be Duvall. Duvall's pitched once in the last 4 days. The Yankees have had two games where they've been blown out. I kind of expect to see Duvall in either the blowout games, at least one of them. Like, I get he didn't get used today. I didn't think there was necessarily a lane for him because, like, they get blown out once Yarbrough's in the game. And once Yarbrough's in a situation where he creates the massive separation, you just kind of need him to eat the rest
of
the
game. You burn him and you use him in that way because that's what he's there for.
But how is Blackburn, like, I don't understand, like, the love affair with Paul Blackburn. What, dude, like, here are his career numbers with the Yankees. 4.64 ERA. He has 20 strikeouts, 6 walks, 3 home runs, 13 hits. He has a FIP of 3.94 and a WHIP of 1.5. Is that a good reliever to you?
No.
Am I missing something?
But, like, we can recognize what Paul Blackburn is and what Paul Blackburn has been for the majority of his career. Ryan, he's a failed starter. He's a failed starter, dude.
The Mets have been a below-average baseball team since the start of last year, and they cut him. And he fell so far in the waiver wire that a team like the Yankees with a good record got a chance to claim him.
He's not dominant enough to be a closer. He's not dominant enough to be a setup dude. Like, he is a long man. Why is he pitching so much?
If he got cut, he wouldn't get claimed off waivers. And for some smart person at home to go, well, he'd get claimed and they'd lose an arm. Good. You know how much money they save if he gets claimed off waivers, Sam? Do you know how much?
I actually don't know.
This is not an insignificant amount of money when we talk about, like, the Yankees.
How much money is it?
They would save $4.2 million because it's $2 million plus the 110% tax that you save.
Boots, smell you. I'll see
you. If you cut him, so if you cut him, you would either gain financial flexibility at the deadline to get a reliever, or he would just clear through waivers and you got him in AAA and you can call him up at will.
Bro, you just got to mag all Paul Blackburn at this point, bro. Like, what's even the point, dog? Like, it's so bad. It's like,
yeah,
the bullpen is in such a rough spot. It sucks, man, because after last weekend, we were talking, well, like, the bullpen doesn't look horrible. Right? They actually weren't bad. They were decent. I think that there's talent there, but I just think they're, like, they've been so misused this year. I think across the board, the bullpen's been misused. So, like, it then reaches a point where, hey, like, I'm going to start asking questions about Aaron Boone and his bullpen flexibility because it just does not look good.
It's stupid to me. It's all stupid to me.
Yeah.
It's all stupid to me. It's all so stupid to me. Like, it just doesn't make sense. But hey, Sam, we'll do a quick series preview. We'll do an Aspen Player of the Week, and we'll wrap here. Let's start real quick with the series preview. The Yankees are taking on the Royals at home. Cam Schlitler versus Michael Wacha. Will Warren versus Noah Cameron. Ryan Weathers versus Cole Reagans. That's two lefties and a guy who kills us in Michael Wacha. Sam, how's the series going to go?
They'll get swept. Randall Grichuk, 15 at-bats. Ben Rice starts every game on the bench. They're getting swept. They'll get swept, for
sure.
Vinny Pasquantino, 15 home runs.
Yeah, that's...
Michael Garcia, 1 million stolen bases. Bobby Witt Jr., 17 hits. Yeah, Ben Rice 0-17. Yeah, you cannot convince me that they're gonna win a game. I'm sorry, like, it's so fun. Like, you can't.
It's incredible because, like, I think if you ask the Yankees to, like, take a career minor league reliever and make them usable, they can do it. But if you ask the Yankees to play their second best hitter against lefties, they can't do it. If you ask the Yankees to, like, figure out whether
drop that shit on a quote graphic, bro. That's far.
Like, it's incredible. Like, I think this organization is very good at minor league development with, like, finding a Cam Schlitler, finding a Ben Rice, trading for Elmer Rodriguez. One of the small signing bonuses was Carlos Legrandjian in his international free agent class, but they haven't figured out how to play Ben Rice. It's a little weird. And we'll just do Aspen Vodka Player of the Series. I have one easy one in mind, but I want to know what you got.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is one easy one. But I'm actually going to go, we're actually going to give out the award this week. It's not going to be Chris Drew or, Ryan Garcia. I'm actually going to give it to Trent Grisham. It's going to go to Trent Grisham for the Monday night. The two home runs coming off the bench. That was a game that he entered late. Hit the home run, I think it was in the fifth or sixth inning. And then obviously hit the late home run to put them up, which was huge for them. I thought that, you know, Monday was game of the year. I mean, that was incredible to watch. It was great, great, great watch, even though I wasn't like I was mobile half the time. But for T-Rent, I think for them to move in the right direction offensively, I think that that was huge for them. And I think that, you know, I thought in the moment that it lit a fire under their ass, but clearly it did not, because then they went on to lose two of their next three. But I thought that T-Rent was awesome on Monday, had a lot of fun. And for him to be able to finally get going after a poor, like, beginning 2 week stretch, I think is huge. So my goes to Trent Grisham. Shout out to T-Rent. I love Big Sleep, dude. He's awesome.
I was gonna go with Jordan Romano because I feel like that just makes sense.
Oh, but dude, I'm a dumbass. I'm actually an idiot.
You want to change yours? You can change yours.
I mean, mine would go to Romano because, like, I thought that your obvious was gonna be Judge.
No, that wasn't even
okay.
It.
Okay,
like, trust me, I got a good one.
I mean, Romano, right? Because, I mean, the Yankees get swept if he doesn't pitch for the Angels. He probably hates the Yankees. I mean, that's like the Judge home run, right? The Judge walk-off a couple years ago. And then two in the same week. I mean, he probably hates them to death, dude. But, yeah, they probably get swept if he doesn't pitch for them. So, shout out Jordan Romano, too.
I'm going with they called him a fraud. They said he was weak. They made fun of him. And then he walks down Nolan Grayson, dude. Mark Grayson, Thaddeus, dude, General Thrag. Give that man, I'm going to throw a spoiler warning on the, you'll
yeah,
hear
yeah,
the
yeah.
spoiler
first,
warning, don't
first,
worry.
First.
The greatest, General Thrag. Can you, this
Grand
is like,
Regent, Grand Regent.
Grand Regent, sorry.
Give that
Grand
man his
Regent.
Respect, dude.
General, Grand Regent. Grand Regent Thrag. That guy. Is, I mean, what a week for him.
Dude,
what a week for him.
I have never in fiction seen someone more imposing. And I mean that so seriously. Like, the like Space Racer shot his laser gun or whatever, and Thrag just goes and just like moves himself back an inch, right? Thrag, after they go through the planet, it's just like, I choose death. And it's just like, Thaddeus, yeah, you're clip, bro. And he's been trying to kill Thaddeus for years. And he's just like, yeah, like, you're clipped.
He
go
blocks
ahead,
a punch with his hairline.
Go ahead, Mark, show me. Oh. And he just.
Until the season ends, I'm just like legally required to reference Invincible. And also the Yankees aren't playing well. So like, it's fine. I've been a negative Nancy for like 20
Thrag.
Minutes. Yeah, dude. I've been a negative Nancy for 20 minutes. So I like to.
Yeah, it's understandable.
Got to mix in, you know. It's like throwing a curveball after a fastball. Don't throw off-speed pitches to Mike Trout.
yeah, I mean, Trout. What the hell?
Mike Trout is
God.
The greatest baseball player of my lifetime.
I will give him his flowers, too. He was awesome. I will give
if this
his
was
flowers.
Fireside Angels, Mike Trout would have swept it. He would have swept.
Yeah, 100%.
The player of the week. Just
100%. I mean, he's so cool. He's actually so cool. Like, it was him and Judge going back and forth this week was so fun.
Trout's like, on 100 War Watch again, which I wasn't sure was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
He's on 100 War Watch, century mark.
Yeah, he's moving.
Anywho, I think it was a good way to wrap things up. We appreciate you guys so much for tuning in here to Fireside Yankees, and thank you again to Aspid Vodka for being our partners and sponsoring us. And honest to God, I went to the game earlier this week, had an espresso martini, incredible drink. My girlfriend had the Bronx Tale. She loved it. She also tried a little bit of the martini. She loved that as well. Those are honest reviews. And for those wondering about the Instagram story, those are her hands. So yeah. I was not paid to say this. That is a true statement. And we will, if we're tried in court, this would hold up in court. This would hold up in court, is what I'll say.
Yeah,
we appreciate you guys so much for tuning in. Like, subscribe, turn on the notification bell. Check out our socials at Fireside Yankees on all of your favorite social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and of course this YouTube page. On audio, if you're listening on this, 5-star rating, download, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out, everybody.